DT Shop.
Love Talk Radio.
Are working together for my good, and it's no accident. It's intentional. That's what I like. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. So happy to have each and every one of you all. I'm truly excited about the Word of God today. I can't wait to get into this. As Pastor Bell from Akron, Ohio, should give us a word of prayer.
Praise the Lord, and good afternoon, everyone. And Pastor, thank you for that song. Amen, amen. All things are working for our good. Amen. We got to believe that. Amen, amen. But that's how much he loves us. Amen. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from Colossians and the third chapter and verses 1-3. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today thanking you for another day, thanking you for our pastor, thanking you, Lord, for those that are listening, those that have called in, and those that are listening by internet, Father God. Lord, we ask that you would just bless each and every one as you open up our hearts and our mind to receive the word today, Father God. We ask that you will use our pastor mightily, Father God, as he teaches this word, Father God, make it plain so we're able to understand it, Father. Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are sick and shut in. You said in your word, by your stripes we're healed. Be with those that are bereaved and going through. You said you will keep the imperfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So, Father God, help us to keep our minds stayed on you, Father God. No matter what it is we're going through, no matter what may try to come up against us, Father God, can we bind up everything that is not of Christ. Lord, we ask that you would just continue, Lord, to have your way in our life. Allow the Holy Spirit to be in our hearts and guide and direct us to all truth. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Yesterday, we end up in who's going to go to Hebrews 4:12, which we will go there because you have to know what the Word of God should mean to you. If you don't know, it's our eyes, it's our ears, it's our everything. And you can judge everything by the word of God. You know why? Because of Hebrews 4:12. Because there's nothing hidden from the word of God. And if the word of God is in you, then it's nothing hidden from you.
Amen.
I better say that again. I say if the word of God is in you and it's nothing hidden from the word, then it's nothing hidden from you.
Amen, amen. Praise God.
That's why God gave us his word. So everything is made plain at the 12th and 13th verse. So we're going to start off with Hebrews 4:12-13. And as Pastor Sher read it, let's see. I read it out of the Hebrews. I mean out of the English,
okay.
Out of the King James Version. Hebrews 4:12-13, it reads like this. For the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and of a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. Amen.
Amen. See, everything is open. Everything is naked before the word of God. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important. Now, this is revelation for you. This is why you want to have the word of God in you. This is exactly why. He's talking about what the word of God is alive in you and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have power. Because of the word that's in you, sharpening any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. And that soul's close together. Most people don't know what is different between the soul and the spirit. It takes the word of God to divide that.
Amen.
They don't have a surgeon knife that can split the soul and the spirit. Most people get it confused anyway. But it takes the word of God to divide that. Why am I telling you all of it? Well, we was finishing up on yesterday. And one of the things that we talked about yesterday is, we talked about a lot of stuff, but one of the things I had told you we was going to talk about this week were being made like new. And this is how another reason we're made like new is because the word of God lives in us and not on tablets. It lives in us. It's alive. Where in the olden days, it was on tablets. It was written, but they didn't have it in them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have it in them. They wrote it and put it on parchment paper and that kind of stuff. But listen, and on stone, listen, brothers and sisters, you got the word of God in you now. You got God himself living in us. Hallelujah. How wonderful is that? How marvelous is that?
Mm-hmm.
That God himself want to take up time with you. You probably got children don't want to spend no time with you. You got grandkids don't want to take up no time with you. But here, God himself.
Mm.
He can personify himself to give you a little bit, give me a little bit of himself. That's how awesome he is.
Yeah.
When I think about that, it just blows me away. But let me conclude this so I can get on where I need to get to. Let me conclude this by saying you want to have the word in you and you want to act on the word. Because if you got the word in you, that's the key ingredient. Is to have the word of God, then allow the Holy Spirit to rightly divide the word of truth for you, okay?
Amen.
Something we said yesterday that we wanted to touch on, and I believe Pastor read it, it was from Philippians 3, and let's read from the 7th, I want to say to the 12th verse. Philippians 3, the 7th verse through the, we'll read through the 11th verse, and we'll do that one, and get past it to you if you'd be so kind. Out of a messenger Bible. If she's looking at that thing, if she got something better, we'll take that. I say better, brothers and sisters. We talking about clarity here. That's all. Sometimes clarity, sometimes from another version. But the King James Version, it reads like this, and I'm going to start the 7th verse. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And when I'm found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I followed after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The 12th verse. Hallelujah.
Amen. From the Message Bible. The very credentials these people are waving around as some special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog done. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could be embraced. So that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying that I have this all together and that I have made it on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Amen.
Amen, amen. So in this, or these passages of scriptures, we're going to look at this as a 8-4 Christian goal. Because, see, when I hear it, this is to me like Paul is saying, he set some goals here to win Christ, okay? Mm-hmm. The goal here is what you have to do to win Christ. And he says, I've counted all as dung. It's all a certificate. The achievement mm-hmm. I've made don't mean jack. Don't mean nothing when it comes to gaining the knowledge of knowing Christ. Are y'all with me so far? So Paul points out this. So there are four things here that he points out. And we're going to discuss them, maybe not all today. But first, he talks about what things were gained to me, those I count. So everything he counted that he thought was just so, he said it ain't nothing. He counted it as a loss. Listen, mm-hmm. dear heart, you got to evaluate things right. He said all these average stuff, the honors, the respect, which I've held from the Jews as well as from others, foreigners, and all those, he said, the awards I received, all of this stuff, my education, and you can go through the list of Paul's accolades if you wish. He said, I count it all as a loss,
mm-hmm.
that I may gain. So that's one thing we're going to get into. Because he's talking about winning Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about what you got to do to win Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We also talk about what it means to be found in Christ. Woo! The ninth verse says, and be found in him. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
See, you want to be found in him, not having your own righteousness, which a lot of
mm-hmm.
people do. They have their own righteousness, but it's not according to God's righteousness.
Okay.
They go about and they establish their own righteousness. That's why churches, organized churches, are messed up. That ain't, all
mm-hmm.
of that stuff ain't God.
Yeah,
matter of fact, if anything, it's just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
They say more of building a building than giving somebody a piece of bread.
Have mercy.
They think more of worshiping, having a place to worship, than they have of worshiping God.
Mm.
God, I don't want that, sir. He wants us. He wants to live in us. But we'll spend millions and millions of dollars for a building to say, quote, God is living in us, or living in the building. This is God's house. You can't give God no house. He know what house he want. He said, know ye not, you are the temple. He already know what house he want to live in.
Mm-hmm. All right.
How you going to give him a house? You don't want nobody giving you a house to live in. If you got a choice, you want to pick your own house. Preach,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to do this.
Yeah.
But we want to look at that. You want to be found in Christ, brothers and sisters, not having your own, but Paul said, and be found in him, having made my own, not having my own righteousness. Now I looked at that, not having my own righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to ask yourself, what righteousness do you have? Where it come from? Is it God or is it man? What righteousness are you operating under?
All right.
A lot of it ain't God. A lot of it is simply man. And we fall for that okey-doke, for the tricks of the enemy. Because it's pleasing, it sounds good. And it's sad, brothers and sisters. It's sad when you're going to operate in somebody else's righteousness than God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the ghost.
Paul says, to be found in Christ, to be found in his righteousness is what's important. Another thing we're going to point out is to know Christ in a power and suffering death. We know him, but not like we should know him. We should know him as part of his resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To know Christ in the power and suffering and in his death, that I may
mm-hmm.
know him. I may know him. See, to know him is to have knowledge. And we want to get into
yeah.
that. I truly do. I really want to, what it means, because man's righteousness is not enough. It is as filthy rags. So
mm-hmm.
I want to know God's stuff.
Yes.
So the next one, the third one, is that I may know him and the power. And when we talk about power of his, we're talking about the resurrection. We're talking about eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, God's righteousness come from, or come through Christ, I should say, 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. That's where it comes from. But this is a life eternal journey we're on. I want y'all to get with that now. That's a life eternal journey we're on. So he says to know Christ, I'm trying to find this scripture, this verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death. So we'll talk about that as well. And the 11th verse says, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection. So that could be four parts there. To attain to the outer resurrection, then almost the death. You want to get to know Christ like that. It's the resurrection power. Not just on Easter Sunday. So let's start with, I guess we'll start with 8-fold Christian goal. And to win Christ. 1 Corinthians, to win Christ. That's what Paul said, to win Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. I read it out of the King James, and Pastor, you can read it out of the Messenger Bible. But the 24th verse read as such. Know ye not that ye which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that strive for the mastery is a temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain corruptible crowns. But when we an incorruptible, therefore, so run not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to the others, I myself should be a castaway.
Amen. From the Message Bible, you've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally, giving it everything I've got. No, be living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping. Excuse me. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. And you have to ask yourself, loss of, what does that really mean? Loss as applied to trade. Like for instance, I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations, because I know yesterday I said, it's nothing wrong with losing, especially when you know you're going to win. See, you can lose, and it's okay, because you know what you're winning. Like, and I'm going to give you an illustration. Like for instance, when everybody was on the boat, and the boat had just too much cargo. So they said, throw some stuff overboard. Oh, no, I don't want to throw my stuff overboard. It's okay. Throw it overboard.
Mm-hmm.
The ship is sinking. Throw it overboard. It's a loss. I get it. But, hey, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Do that make sense? Do that make sense? See, you're a winner. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that you're like, when somebody lose, it's like you're losing, and you're not. You're really winning, especially when you see the ship is sinking. Let it go.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things you just need to let go. There's some people you need to let go. I know it seemed like a loss, but at the end, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with y'all. There's some things about the church, organized church, I didn't want to let go.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It was dear to my heart. But God said, cast it overboard. Let it go. It's not going to be a loss. It's going to be a gain.
All right.
So Paul thought everything he had accomplished. I mean, can you imagine years he had went to school, universities, and all the knowledge that he acquired. He was speaking more language than any. I count all that stuff as nothing so I could gain the knowledge of Christ.
Mm.
Some people still trying to hold on to tradition. They think more of tradition, and that's why Christ can't get in. See, your cup is full, and if you want to get some more in there, empty the cup out. Count it as a loss. But look what you're gaining.
Yeah.
Fresh manna. Let it go. But anyway, so those are the things that we'll be talking about the rest of this week, what it means to be found in Christ, how to count all those things as a loss so you may gain the excellency. You know, you got to be real dumb if you don't understand the ship is sinking and you don't want to cast something overboard. You'd rather keep it on board to save your precious dress. Woo! Man, that suit I got, man, them shoes, I ain't finna throw it overboard. Throw it overboard, lighten the ship. Lighten it so we can live.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you gotta hear it, but anyway, we'll get into it tomorrow and the rest of the week. We're at that point now where anybody have anything they want to say, press 1, or any comments, press 1, and we'll go from there. Anyone?
Amen. Well, Pastor, I'd like to read that from God's Word, 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27. And it reads, don't you realize that everyone who runs in a race runs to win, but only one winner gets the prize? Run like them so that you can win. Everyone who enters an athletic contest goes into strict training. They do it to win a temporary crown, but we do it to win one that will be permanent. So I run, but not without a clear goal ahead of me. So I box, but not as if I were just shadow boxing. Rather, I toughen my body with punches and make it my slave so that I will not be disqualified after I have spread the good news to others. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. And I like what the Message Bible said. It said, no sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Amen. So we have to stay alert.
Amen. And then we got to know what that means. We got to understand that because the crowd going one way, you don't have to go that way. You got to go the way of the Word of God. That's what we have to do.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you, brothers. It's easy to get sidetracked because of religion. That's stuff you've been taught. You don't necessarily have to agree with the scripture. But see, the enemy don't never want you to ever venture out there in that place. Because if you do, he'll put fear there and get you to thinking, oh, well, if you do this, if you do that. And man, it's okay. It's okay to love God.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be traditional with it. It's okay.
Okay.
If I can get that across to people, it's okay to get out of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some the enemy have tricked us so long. He got a lot of people thinking, and along the lines that, you know, you can't think outside the box.
Have mercy.
Yeah, and it's okay. It's okay to think outside the box, especially when you done ran into some truth and everybody ain't there. So
mm-hmm.
just be thankful.
Yeah, amen.
Because no. That was a time I thought, well, me not going to church, that's blaspheming. And all along, I was already blaspheming, didn't even know it. Blaspheming and didn't even know it. All along I was blaspheming and didn't even know it. Had no clue. But anyway, we thank you all so much, and we'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word at Noon. Hallelujah.